My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today. The chief priest and the elders came to Jesus with two questions. Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus responded by saying, I'll also ask you a question, by which if you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I've done these things. Jesus said, the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? These Jews reasoned among themselves and they said, well, if we say from heaven, he'll say to us, then why didn't you obey it? But if we say from men, the crowds will cause us great problem because they all believe that John was a prophet. And so they responded by saying, we do not know. And Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I've done these things. Now, Jesus didn't fail to answer these people. In fact, he showed them that there are only two possibilities for authority. There is authority from heaven, and there is authority from men. Friends, where do we get Bible authority today? I am convinced that this is the most fundamental of all lessons that we need to understand. It affects our salvation. It affects the way we worship. It affects every part of our life. Today, we need to understand that the only authority for man is from heaven. The heavenly authority is the only one that is divine in its nature. It's the only one that we can trust that will not change over time. Malachi 3 verse 6, God says, I am God, I do not change. It's the only authority that will not lie to us and that we can trust regardless. But the authority of men is not like that. Sometimes man's authority is fallible. Sometimes it is based on prejudice and bias and what we like and what we think. We need to realize today that Bible authority is one of the most fundamental and important subjects we could ever understand. And if you understand fully the authority of the Bible, just how important that is, we're going to understand how to worship God correctly. We're going to understand where to go for salvation in matters of worship. But if we fail to understand Bible authority, then friends, we may think that anything can go in religion. But to do so, we'll deny some valuable principles that we understand in everyday life. You know, when we talk about authority, we recognize authority in other areas of life. The principle of authority is not something new to us. In everyday life, we recognize there are authorities, there are laws that must be followed. For example, think about the traffic laws that are set out before us today. Say that you come to a red light. And you have three different colors, red, yellow, and green. We know that red means stop, yellow means slow down, and green means go. Now, what if we pulled up to that red light and we said, you know, let's just throw authority out the window. Let's throw all these standards out. I feel like making green stop and red go today. How would that work in our world? What would that do to the traffic laws? And think about how that would affect everyone driving. Why, there would be wrecks left and right, and it would make great chaos on the road. We recognize in everyday life that there are laws. Think about the standards we have in weights and measures. What if a gallon of gas meant one thing to one person and another thing to you? Imagine how that would affect our world. In sports, there are laws. In government, there are laws that must be followed. There are senses of authority that we must look up to. The president, the Congress, the Senate, they make those laws and we respect their authority today. Thus, in everyday life, the authority that we see around us is not something new. But what's so odd is that sometimes we come to religion and we just leave all that outside. And we just think that God has left it open for us to do what we want, regardless of what God and the Bible says. And so, yes, there is an authority and a standard in everyday life. But I want us today to think about, first of all, some wrong sources of authority. If we're not careful, we can think something is an authority that actually might not be. And we can look to some person or some book or follow the crowd thinking they're the authority when in all actuality they are not the authority. The first wrong source of authority is what we think or what we assume is right. Friends, what I think or what I assume is right may not be right with God. The Bible teaches us not to put our own interpretation into Scripture. 2 Peter Peter 1, verses 19 through 21, tells us that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. I just can't take the Bible and say, oh boy, this is what I like and what I think, and that's what I'm going to make that to mean. No, God meant for it to mean exactly what He said, and we've got to figure out, according to Scripture, what that is. Think about the words of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. The Proverb writer said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. What we think or what we feel may actually be the total opposite of what God wants us to do, and it may lead to spiritual death. And so we need not place emphasis on what we think is right as the authority. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, we're to be ready always to give a ready reasoned answer, a defense for the hope that is in us. To do that, we've got to follow the Scriptures. There's a very important passage I want us to think about, found in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Paul says this, prove all things, or test all things, hold fast to that which is good. It's my responsibility not just to assume or not just to think that something's right, but to come to the Scriptures and prove what God's will is. A second wrong source for authority is the religious world. The religious world that we live in is not our authority today. What I mean by that is that religious leaders, the head of a religious group, is not our authority. That's not who we look to today. Denominational conventions should not tell us what to believe and what to think. And friends, books written by men are not the authority that we follow today. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 gives us great insight into the fact that man cannot save us. Jeremiah said, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Man cannot save us. A religious leader, regardless of what title men may give him, cannot get us to heaven. Friends, a denominational convention cannot tell you what to believe or think. Why? Psalm 119, verse 89 tells us that God's Word is already settled in heaven. Regardless of what men vote on and approve, or what they vote on and cast out, that's not our authority. The Bible is our only authority in religious matters. And friends, books of men, they are not what you need to trust today. You need to trust the book of God, the Bible. It is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, it is that which is going to judge us in the last day, according to John chapter 12 and verse 48. Another wrong source for authority is our feelings. We should not trust in our feelings as a safe authority today. Think about what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 23:1. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Paul felt like he was doing the right thing. In Acts chapter 7, when he was holding the coats of those who stoned Stephen, he thought that was right, but it wasn't. In Acts chapter 8, when he was dragging men and women and putting them in prison, he felt like that was the right thing to do, but it was not. And so as we think about our feelings, they are never a safe guide. They are not our authority. What I feel is right, although that may give me a wonderful feeling deep down in my heart. Friends, that's not to be trusted as the authority. Another wrong source for authority is the majority. We do not need to put our trust in what the majority is doing. In fact, the Bible tells us never to trust the authority as the guide, and we should not follow them. Exodus 23 verse 2 says, do not follow a multitude to do evil. And thus, we don't follow what the crowd is doing. What's popular, or what may be the latest fad, that's not our authority today. Yet too many times that's what people want to do. They want to be like the rest of the world, and whatever's popular and whatever they're doing, that seems to become the standard and the authority in religious matters. Sadly, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, that when we follow the multitude, it's going to be very detrimental to our soul. Jesus said this, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Jesus taught us that many people, in fact, He said most of this earth's population is going to go down the wrong path, which leads to destruction. That ought to tell me that we don't need to trust the majority. Another wrong source for authority is our ancestors, our family. Friends, regardless of what your family has or has not done in matters of religion, they are not the authority. Today, we're encouraging you not to trust what mom and dad or brother and sister or grandma and grandpa have done as it relates to religion. Trust what the Bible says. You know, Paul had to learn this lesson the hard way. Paul was one who was following his family's tradition. He was following in the footsteps of his ancestors in stoning Christians and doing things that weren't right, dragging them to prison. But Paul learned that that was not right. Galatians 1 verse 14 teaches us Paul's lesson about this principle. Paul said, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous," notice, "for the traditions of my fathers." Paul didn't say, "I was exceedingly zealous for what the old law said," but for the tradition of what his family had followed. Please don't put your trust in your family and what they've done in matters of religion. Instead, we need to trust God and His Word. And so, where do Christians get their authority today? How do we find authority? Where do people of God find their authority in matters of religion? We've got to look to the chain of authority that is given to us in the Bible. In this chain of authority, at the first of it is God. God is the first link in this chain. All authority resides with God because He's the Creator. He's the originator of life. He's the one who's in charge. He created all things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 teaches us. Hebrews 12 verse 9 teaches us that He is our Father. And so God is the first link in this chain of authority. We must look to Him. But God has delegated authority to Jesus Christ. Christ has been given authority by God. This is seen in Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me on heaven and on earth by God." John 5 verse 27 teaches us that Jesus has authority over all flesh, all men. And thus, Christians are told in Colossians 3 verse 17 that whatever we do in word or deed has to be done by the authority, by the power of Jesus Christ. But Christ is not here with us today. How do we get our authority? Jesus promised His followers that the Holy Spirit would come and that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. In three passages, John 14:26, 15:26, and John 16:13, He promised that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was going to come. And in chapter 16, verse 13, that He would guide them into all truth. And so God is the first link. God gave authority to Christ. Christ promised that the Holy Spirit would come and He would guide the apostles into all truth. The apostles then wrote down in the Word of God the truth about religion and the authority that we have today. Where is our authority? It resides in the Word of God. What we follow today is the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, "If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you," listen now, "are the commandments of God." John 12, verse 48, Jesus said we're going to be judged by the words of Almighty God. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21 teaches us that holy men of God spoke as they were moved, guided along by the Holy Spirit. And so we get authority today in the Word of God. That's how it comes to us today. When we get our authority, it is through reading and studying the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, we're told that when you read, you can understand the will of God. Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19 teaches us that we don't add to or take away, but we fully follow everything the Bible says. Now friends, here's a passage that I want you to think real seriously about as it relates to our authority today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6 that we need to learn not to go beyond that which is written. And so the chain of authority is very simple for Christians today. We follow the Bible. We don't listen to other men. We don't follow other teachers. We come to the Scriptures to see what we're to do and how we're to live. There are a couple of Old Testament examples that teach us that following exactly what God says is essential to our salvation. I want you to think about two young priests, Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible tells us that these men offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them, and that fire rained down from heaven and killed those two men. Some versions say an unauthorized fire. Here's the point. The Bible says it was something that God had not commanded them. We don't know exactly what they did, but we do know this. They did not follow God's authority. They did something other than what He said, and as a result, they lost their life in doing so. I think of the example of Saul. Saul is a man who was told in 1 Samuel 14 and 15, you go in and you completely wipe out the nations. Don't leave anything. But Saul wanted to bring something back for God. And when they heard the bleating of the animals, when they saw the things that they'd kept, when they kept back the king and he was questioned about this, he said, but God, we did it for you. And God said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lambs. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 21 and 22. And so again, the principle we learn is that we must not go beyond the boundaries set forth in the Bible. I need not add to. I don't need to take away. I don't need to insert what I think would make things better. And thus, clearly in the Scriptures, we are taught to faithfully follow the Bible and it alone. Don't trust men unless they are saying what God says. You trust the Bible, and unless a person can show you where the Bible teaches a certain principle, we don't need to add to that. But as we think about the authority of the Bible, we don't want to think about the application of the authority. How is this relevant to our lives today? How is the authority of the Bible relevant in worship? It's our authority in worship today, and we've got to understand this is a very practical subject because it relates right down to me worshiping God and how I do that, whether it's acceptable or whether it's not acceptable. Here's a perfect illustration. In many places today, a person could go in and see drama or acting as a part of worship. Someone might be up when they might have a play, or they might have a show or a skit, and they might be acting out the gospel. You know, the person who's really trying to please God has to ask this question, where is the authority for drama and acting in the Bible? And friends, you can search the Scriptures all the way through, and you'll never find that as an approved method of teaching the gospel. In fact, here's the approved method. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this, God chose the foolishness of preaching, the oral proclamation from Scripture to save people from their sin. God didn't choose drama, and He didn't choose acting. You know, we say, well, that really wasn't a part of their society. Friends, history begs to differ on this. For history reveals to us that in the Corinthian society, amphitheaters and play areas were available, and this was a very popular method of entertainment during their time. But instead of saying, you go and act out the gospel, Paul said, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those who are lost. The authority in worship is also seen as it relates to the music that Christians are to use in the New Testament. One of the clearest examples of how that we have to apply biblical authority to New Testament worship is found in singing. Friends, as you look from Matthew through Revelation, you do not find instruments of music being used by the New Testament church. Now remember, we're not under the old law today. 2 Corinthians or Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, and Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 through 16 teaches us that the old law has been nailed to the cross. We don't follow the old law. We're under the new law today. And inside the pages of the New Testament, you do not find instruments of music being approved. In fact, God tells us to sing. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19, a parallel passage. We're singing to one another, making melody in our heart unto the Lord. These passages come together to show us that God has told us exactly what He wants. He wants Christians to sing with their voice, to make music in their heart. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 15, with the spirit and the understanding, and to give God the glory as we teach the lost through our singing. Yet never does God tell us to use instruments. You know, what's very interesting about this is that when God wants something, He tells us what He wants, and that's all He wants. God doesn't expect us to add to it. We understand this principle in everyday life. Say that you go down to the, or you have a child, and you send that child to the grocery store, and you give him $5, and you say to that child, now son, I just want you to pick up a loaf of bread, and I want you to get a gallon of milk. And he goes down there and he gets a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, but he also comes back with a bunch of candy. And you say to him, well, what are you doing with this candy? I told you to get a loaf of bread and I wanted you to get a gallon of milk. And he says, well, Dad, you didn't say not to get candy. You see, you wouldn't put up with that. Because when you said what you wanted, that was exactly what you wanted and you didn't want anything else. That's the way God is. Imagine how big the Bible would be if not only God told us what He wanted, but He had to tell us exactly what He did not want. I want you to do this, and I don't want you to do this, and I don't want you to do this. Well, that would be redundant. When God tells us what He wants, that's exactly what He wants. As we think about the authority of the Bible in worship, we also need to note that this relates to women's role. Friends, we live in a society where no doubt women are thought of very highly, and they ought to be. Women have a great place in the kingdom of Christians and the kingdom of Christ today. But in the New Testament, we are clearly taught that women should not have a leadership role where men are available. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Paul said, I do not permit a woman to teach or to be an authority over a man, but to be in silence. The idea there is clear. Paul said women are not to teach or be an authority over men. That's very clear. Women shouldn't preach. They shouldn't be in places of authority. And where there are Christian men available, it would be sinful for them to teach a man who is also a Christian the gospel in that setting. And so we've got to be very careful when we follow the teaching of Scripture and its application to Christian living. The application of authority is also seen in salvation. The authority of the Bible is so essential as it relates to matters of salvation. Friends, when we ask the question, what must one do to be saved? We're not asking what do the religious leaders of today think, or what do we feel we ought to do to be saved, or what has some man written about salvation. We need to be asking this question, is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 17. There are a couple of instances of how the authority of men is really causing people not to find salvation today. For example, where's the authority in the Bible for saying the sinner's prayer and being saved? Have you ever thought about that? Where is the sinner's prayer in the Bible? Some will say you need to mouth this prayer. You need to say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I receive you into my heart and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Where's that in the Bible? Friends, you can search again in Matthew through Revelation. You can search all the New Testament and you do not find one account where a person is told for salvation, you need to say the sinner's prayer. It's just not there. That is not something the New Testament teaches, but hundreds of thousands of people are told that's what they've got to do for salvation. Now, think about this. If it's not in the Bible, and we're being told that's what we've got to do to be saved, are you really being saved? Or are we following the teaching of men, which according to Proverbs 16:25 leads to death? Another way in which the authority of salvation is seen very clearly among us today is when it comes to the doctrine of faith alone. Where does the Bible say that faith alone will save us? Oh, I agree. The Bible says that we're saved by faith. The Bible teaches that belief is essential. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24 that if we're not willing to believe He is, we're going to die in our sins. Yes, belief is essential, but where does the Bible say faith alone is what we've got to have to be saved? All you've got to have is faith. Friends, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite of that. In James chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, we see then that a man is justified by works, and listen now, and not by faith only. Make a note of this. The only time in your Bible, in the Bible, that the words faith only or faith alone occur, the Bible says the exact opposite of what many in our religious world are teaching today. And so do you see how essential the authority of the Bible is in salvation? Do you see just how important it is that we follow God's Word? Friends, we can all understand the Bible alike because we can all read from the same pages of the Bible. We can come to it knowing that it is the inspired Word of God. As I trust it as the inspired Word of God, we can all understand it alike. How can we do that? Here's the key to us understanding the Bible alike. We've got to put aside our prejudice. We've got to put aside our bias. We've got to put aside what family members may have believed for years and years, and we've just got to take the Word of God as it is, the truth on salvation. You see, this book, the Bible, is the only truth that we have today. Jesus said, sanctify them by your word is truth. We're told that the Word of God is the only source of truth for us today. It's the only way we can be saved. John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If it's the truth that makes us free, and God's Word is truth, then we need to come to the Bible and the Bible alone to see what we've got to do to be right with Almighty God. What does the Bible say a person has to do to be saved? We're not asking, what do men say? Remember, that's not our authority. We're not asking what books written by men say or what people have done in the past. What do the Scriptures teach a person must do to be saved? First, you've got to hear God's Word. You've got to, as we've been speaking about in this lesson, recognize this is the only authority in matters of religion. Once you recognize that and are willing to hear the Word of God, then you must trust in Jesus, have faith in Him as the Savior of the world. Jesus said in John 8 and 24 that, again, if we do not believe that He is God's Son, Savior, we're not going to be saved. Once I believe in Jesus, then I've got to turn from a life of sin and turn to God. Peter preached in Acts 2:38 that those people had to repent to be saved. And the same is true today. Once we have repented, then we must confess Jesus as our Savior. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yes, I've got to confess Jesus orally to be saved. And friend, listen very carefully. The Bible says you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Today we're pleading with you to accept the authority of the Bible and to live your life only by it. And as you follow authority of God's Word, may God bless your life.